Porch Light Family Media,
your source for family-centered content.
PorchLightFamilyMedia.com.
And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are...
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Hello, I'm JD.
And I'm Roy.
And I am Andrew.
Welcome to Audio Theater Central. This is the show that's all about family-friendly audio drama. We talk about what we like to call the top three. Focus on the Family Radio Theater, Adventures in Odyssey, Lamplighter Theater, and we'll throw in something else every once in a while, as we are going to do today.
That's right.
And this is episode 55. Well, coming up, we've got some feedback from Michael, Richard, and Darren, and we've got a review of Goliath, King of Shadow Valley, which we really think you're going to enjoy. And I also wanted to mention really quickly that next episode, we're going to be joined by Bill Hyde, the executive producer of The Extraordinary Adventures of G.A. Hinty. So be on the lookout for that. We're going to chat with him about what's going on over there, as well as some other cool stuff. And you want to check out that episode, so don't miss it.
And we have a newscast, much news to talk about today.
Well, let's not hold off any longer. Yeah. Let's jump into it.
The Jonathan Park team has been hard at work lately. They have launched a brand new website, released the title of the next album, and began producing what they call Jonathan Park Shorts. These are short stories which take place within the JP universe, but are not part of an album story arc. The first one is called Serenity at Sugar Right Canyon. The title for the Jonathan Park Volume 10 is The Journey Home. Iliad House creator Phil Lawler has provided the following update on the project. Quote, "We have cast the major roles in the series and have recorded all of their lines. Now we're recording the supporting characters. Then it's on to post-production and out to you all." End quote. A specific time frame for the release has not been given yet, but we will pass that information on as soon as it is available. That's it for the news this time. I'm Roy, reporting for Audio Theater Central.
Well, before we jump into our review today, guys, you know what today is?
What's today? Man, we have Andrew over here on the kazoo. Yeah. Happy birthday, JD and Andrew and me.
Yes. Happy birthday, Audio Theater Central.
Not us. Not our birthdays, but the show's birthday.
Yeah, especially since it's only our fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're in the running around stage and asking all kinds of stupid questions to our parents.
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
Hopefully that's not what this audio drama podcast is to you all. Yeah. That would be really boring. Yeah. Why?
Why?
Yeah, so it is our fourth birthday here in September 2014, and it's kind of cool that it's coinciding with the National Podcast Day, which is September 30th. So, hey, we're celebrating too.
Yeah, and we have some lemon bars if you like any.
Yes. Although, by the time they reach you, they probably won't be any good.
Actually, you probably won't get any because we just eat all of them. So, they're so good.
Exactly. If you're expecting leftovers.
Yeah, just forget it.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, today we are talking about Goliath, King of Shadow Valley. It is part of the Paws and Tails series from Insight for Living, but they repackaged a handful of episodes into a special album and released it together under this title. It was three discs. And it's 5 half-hour episodes. They were originally aired as Goliath and then Shadow Valley Parts 1 through 4. So there's 5 episodes total. But as I said, they were released together as a single album called Goliath, King of Shadow Valley. And so we decided we're going to talk about that today. So as always, we have our wonderful summary guy.
I don't know, wonderful maybe a little too strong of a descriptor. But I'll try here. How do you explain your life before Christ? The past you would hope to bury to your children. Papa Chuck must tell the kids in the club the painful story of his youth, his rise to fame, crash to failure, and ultimately finding freedom in Christ behind the walls of a prison called Shadow Valley. This is the moving story of how God transformed an angry Goliath into the gentle mentor, Pawpaw Chuck.
Now, let's kind of go through some of the main characters of this series, Paws and Tails, in case you're not familiar with them. This story is set in a city or a town called Wildwood, and all of the characters are animals in the story, so it's obviously aimed at a younger demographic, but man, I really, really enjoyed this series, and especially this one that we're talking about today. The main character he's kind of like the Mr. Whitaker of Wildwood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And his name is Pawpaw Chuck, who is a grizzly bear.
Yes, he's an old grizzly bear.
And all the kids in the neighborhood come around and, you know, get their wisdom from him. And he works in a fix-it shop. He's kind of like a handyman who does all kinds of work around the town for people. Just like the all-around great guy who helps everyone. He's very much like Mr. Whitaker to me.
Yeah.
And then there's a core group of kids or
club.
Young animals.
Yeah.
The club, I think is what they call them.
I think of them as kids.
Yeah.
It's so easy to like.
I don't think of them as humans, though, because I know what they are.
It's so crazy. You forget they're animals.
It's weird. So. You really think in a very cartoony way when you hear this.
Exactly. Yes. So CJ is like one of the main kid characters, and he's also a bear. He's a bear cub, and then you have Goose, Ned,
Stacy, and Marsha. An interesting point. Chris Anthony actually played Marsha.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah. I thought I'd bring that into the discussion today.
That's really cool.
Yeah. She played for a few roles. Chris Anthony played Marsha.
So, I did not know that. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. But interesting, too, is Goose's real name is Pinky Gongoozler.
Yes. So no wonder they call her Goose.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's a weasel.
Yeah. And very much sounds like one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's why this gets cartoony in my mind, because the voice acting is very, they're very in character. Mm-hmm. They manage to sound like whatever animal they're supposed to be. It's pretty good.
Ned is a beaver, and you know, you picture a beaver with those big old front teeth, and so he kind of has that sound to his voice.
Yeah, he does. I have never realized that until just right now.
Yeah.
Huh. That's why. Okay. All right. And speaking of Marsha, too, she's a moose.
Which
you don't really see that much.
No,
you know?
No, not that one. That one, not so much.
Yeah.
And Stacy. I forget what Stacy is.
She's a bear as well.
Brown bear. Oh,
that's right. Yeah.
She's a brown bear. Stacy and CJ are kind of almost the, most of the stories are kind of written around them, but we have a few about the others, but.
Yeah.
And then they're pretty main characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. We probably shouldn't do this, but like, what would be the Odyssey equivalent of CJ and Stacy?
Well, it depends on what era you're talking about. Yeah. Let's go with right now. Let's go with what's going on.
It would be Matthew and Emily.
Yeah. Right?
True.
Except Stacy's not as annoying as Emily.
Definitely.
But on the other hand, we have Nana Cindy, which is Papa Chuck's wife. You know.
Yes.
Yeah, we have no like wife Connie. For Mr. Whitaker.
She's like Connie, even though she's older.
Yeah. So as we mentioned, Papa Chuck is kind of like this grandfatherly character that everybody in town looks up to. And, you know, he's just this perfect example of always doing good and everything like that. So what's so interesting about this series, Goliath, King of Shadow Valley, is that it's exploring his backstory when he was a young bear himself and all of the things that he went through to make him who he is today and the central character in the story. So it's very fascinating. And you mentioned it already, Andrew, the acting is very, very good. They get into the character. They bring it across in a real believable manner. And we know it's aimed at younger kids, but they're still really good stories.
Definitely.
So as we mentioned, it's broken up into five parts. The first one called Goliath, and it kind of is telling the story of just an everyday, you know, an average day in Wildwood And then all of a sudden, this other character comes into town, a raccoon, who sees Pawpaw Chuck, and he's completely just, he loses his mind, basically. He's like, oh, no, look who it is. And he calls him Goliath, and everybody's like, Goliath? This is Pawpaw Chuck, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So it kind of forces Pawpaw Chuck to kind of go into his whole story and basically just break it down and tell everybody what his life was like before. And so it's a very fascinating story. And one thing that I really like about this series is they have music and songs in at least in this one. It's not, I don't think every single episode that airs.
It's pretty common.
It is. Yeah, it's pretty common. Not it's every single common, episode, but yeah. Like, especially the special ones. They do a story of Esther, which maybe we'll do at another time. But they do a story of Esther, and they're singing in that. Well, so,
and I've heard some of like the short stories and yeah, stuff. They do songs in those too.
I don't think it is every episode though, but it's fairly common for them to do it.
But which is like you said, it's really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a musical. It's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a musical, and it's great. It just fills in a lot of it. Sometimes in the middle of the show, sometimes at the end of the show.
Yeah,
it's just it's an amazing aspect.
And almost. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, it's fine. Finish your thought. No, it's the dynamic to the story. It's awesome.
What is so cool is that almost every time it's sung by a character in that story, and it's dealing with the thing that they're focusing on in that episode or in that particular scene when it's a song in the middle of the episode, they fit very, very well. And I mean, they do various styles depending on what's going on.
Yep.
Different musical styles, that is.
Exactly.
And it's... It really reminds me of a great Disney song that fits right into a storyline.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Like, we've seen a couple plays here and there, and it's exactly what it is, right? Yeah. The play, you have the music going on in the background, and then all of a sudden, or not really all of a sudden, but kind of just an easy transition, they just move right into the music that's the background music of the story, and all of a sudden becomes the music of the song that's being sung.
Yeah.
So it's... just like that. It's really good. It's really, really good.
Yeah. For example, one of the songs later on in this particular series, there's one character who's a shoemaker who's singing this song, but throughout it has this flow to it where other people in the scene are interjecting lines of the song. Actually, what it really reminds me of is a song from Aladdin where you have different people in the crowd.
Or Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
The opening song there, too, is the same way, right? It's not – she's the main singer or the, you know, the main character's singer, but you have other people just interjecting little lines, and it's really pretty funny usually when it happens.
They just do a masterful job, and I think it really, really makes this series stand out from others.
It does, yeah, because they have a – no one else does this, really, you know, and the people who are doing audio dramas right now. We don't hear this, you know.
Actually, Kids Corner does this.
Kids Corner does. Yes. Okay. See, I don't listen to Kids Corner much.
You need to listen to it.
Okay.
it's similar in that all the characters are animals.
Oh, okay.
They're all lizards.
Liz, though. Right. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But they do, and it's not every episode, but it's a lot less frequent than in Paws and Tails.
Okay. That's another thing. They don't have a lot of credits. And you know they don't mention the credits a lot, so it's like you got to go finding them. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of digging to find any of the back behind the scenes information on these stories.
There's one particular person who writes almost all of these songs. Her name is Sandy Howell, and they do mention her in the credits whenever there's a song. They'll always say such and such song was written by Sandy Howell.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know
who she is, but she's really good at writing these songs. So back to the first episode. The song in this one is called New Creature in Christ, and it's Pawpaw Chuck, you know, it's coming from his perspective. But there was one line in this one that just cracked me up. It's when he's getting together his gang, and they're going after these bandits who are attacking their village. And he's a 20-year-old bear at this time, and he thinks he can take on the world. And so he gets a couple of buddies, and they go up into the mountains and try to hunt these bandits down to... And the whole story revolves around how originally it was a good plan. They wanted to help their village.
Right.
But he kind of gets greedy or self-centered. And after that, they don't ever really help anybody. They just go out for revenge, and he just... And
don't they end up taking things from the villagers, too, in order to fuel their fight against
the quote-unquote bandits? I don't know if they did that or not. Actually, no, because he did it. One of the kids asks him when he said, what do you think about what I've told you? And he's like, well, you never stole from anybody except for the bandits, right? And he said, no, we never did.
Oh, okay.
But they did all that stuff that they were taking from the bandits. Supposedly, they were going to return it to their rightful owners. They never did. They just kept it for themselves.
Yeah.
But there's just one time when they're sitting around a campfire and they're trying to think of these names for themselves. And one of the characters says he's going to call himself the Pimpernel.
Yeah, that's really funny. A flower. Oh,
that character's hilarious, too. Yeah.
It's a book. Do you ever read a book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You illiterate imbecile or something like that. There's not a whole lot of humor in this series, but that's one.
Serious story.
Yeah, it is. But that was one of the ones that just cracked me up.
Well, the whole theme, you know, as we've mentioned, is explaining what kind of person you were before you became, you know, before you were saved. So it's pretty intense, right? You can imagine that if anyone, Roy and myself, JD as well, we were all born in families that already went to church, right?
Yeah, so, right.
But, you know, folks that come to our church from other places or you know, that come to our church out of even jail situations and things like that. Explaining that to your kids when you're, you know, when the time comes that has to happen, then that would be about as serious as this story is, really. It's pretty intense.
Yeah. Lots of action and adventure. And I mean, it really keeps you on the edge of your seat, I think.
Definitely.
So the whole story, as we said, it kind of is revolving around Papa Chuck is telling this to the kids and what his life was like. And as he continues on, he tells about how he is approached by this owl who we never get a name of this character. He just calls him the owl. And he's kind of like the tempter, and he comes and he just feeds him these lines, and he begins to believe what this owl is telling him. And the whole story is very much, I think, an allegory. And there's a lot of different ways you can look at these things. I'm still not sure what Shadow Valley is.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, it's very ambiguous. Is it representing the world?
That's what it feels like.
Is it representing just an idea of being a prisoner of your own sin? You know, it's.
But I think it's an actual place on the mountain. It's got to be. Because he's got to go and find someone to save them. So it's got to be an actual place on the mountain, I think. I think CJ is the one.
I think so, yeah.
But going back, actually, the owl, I don't know how these stories are in, like, chronologically. I don't know, because there is an episode I listened to of Pause and Tells. It's Timothy the Owl is his name. And because that same owl actually goes and tempts Ned.
And CJ.
Yeah. And CJ. Yeah, he shows
with
up.
With the lighthouse story, right?
That's in later episodes.
Shows up in different parts of the... And so I don't know if... So I know the story of, like, him, you know, is before all these kids and stuff. But I can't remember where it falls. And if this is the first time we hear the owl or if it's...
I think so, because you remember at the very beginning, the opening scene was they're just finishing the club.
That's right.
And so that fort figures into a lot of the stories later on. Yep.
That's right. Okay, good point. Okay.
So yeah, it could be the same character, Timothy the Owl, but in this series, they never mention a name. Yeah. They just call him the Owl.
It's the same voice. I know that.
It is. It's definitely the same character.
But maybe it's like a grand owl or something. Grand kid owl.
A grandson owl.
I don't know. Do owls live a long time?
I don't. Yeah. That's a good question. It'd be a long time.
But it's interesting that they would choose an owl, because they're always represented as wisdom or a wise person, or, you know, like wise in Jungle owl. Jam, yeah. Weatherby the owl was the one that everybody always went to for, you know, knowledge.
Yeah, that is interesting. I don't know, but he sounds like a sneaky, sly individual. That's all I know.
He does. He's very evil.
Yeah, you can tell. You can just feel it. He's like going to put your hands around his neck.
His voice just drips with it. It's terrible.
The owl, Sean.
Yeah.
It's an amazing acting job, I can tell you that.
And so then Goliath finds himself, or Papaw Chuck, he took the name as of Goliath as his nickname, as this bad guy who ran around the mountain chasing down these bandits. But he finds himself in this place called Shadow Valley. And again, we're still kind of unsure about what that represents, but it's a place where you cannot get out of. It's a city. There's a castle. There's a little outskirts of the town and everything, but it's all down in this valley where the walls of it are all like, what did they say?
Sheer cliffs,
but they said walls. How high. I don't remember exactly, but it's like super high that nobody can climb out. And there's only one way out, and it's through this maze called the Labyrinth. And they always said that anybody who goes in there dies.
Or never returns to Shadow Valley.
And they hear their screams coming from inside. There's monsters in the Labyrinth. And
we find out, too, that there's two ways you can go in the Labyrinth, you know. And so those screams and things you might heard are probably people choosing the other way, you know what I'm saying? But you never know. I don't know. That's interesting.
Well, this might be jumping ahead a little bit, but maybe it's just folks who have already made the decision that they're going to turn their life over to God. Mm-hmm. Only those folks will hear the other voice leading you the right way.
Yeah, good point.
Through the labyrinth, because that's what happens
to
Chuck.
The still small voice.
Or Goliath. But it's so interesting that they make him the king, and they call him the king of Shadow Valley, but he really... He has a certain extent of freedom, but it's not like he can just do whatever he wants because, again, he's basically trapped there.
Yeah.
And there's this whole thing with this wound on your heart. Like the owl, after he deceives Goliath and tells him, you can be this king, you can get this big army, and you can come take out the bandits. He stabs him in the heart with this stone, and then he wakes up and he's in Shadow Valley. Well, everybody there has this wound.
Right.
And that's an interesting thing too, talking about, you know, there's this wound in every person that only thing that can heal it is God.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they all have that wound. That's interesting. And then I think it's interesting too that he immediately starts building the tower. For some reason, my mind just goes like to the Tower of Babel, you know, right there. Mm-hmm. He starts building the tower to get out of the city. I don't know.
Trying to make his own way out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a good point. I never thought about it like that. He was trying to do it his own way and get out of there. Huh.
Yeah. There's a lot of like parallels, different things that could pull out of these stories.
And I think that when you were talking about the allegory of it, there's more than one. Most allegories are this way, unless there is straightforward as like Pilgrim's Progress, where everybody's given names, like the Bog of Despair. What could the Bog of Despair possibly be? Right? I think like Shadow Valley, all these things we're talking about, is the Shadow Valley, you know, indicative of the world, or is it indicative of the prison that is created by sin? Probably both.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how you look at it, really. I mean, there's a limited way, the limited number of interpretations, but there is more than just one for a lot of these allegories here. And there's just a lot to be extrapolated out of it. There's so much good stuff in here.
Yeah.
Totally. And what always kept coming to my mind is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So there's another way to look at it, is like going through a struggle or a hard time. I think that's what David was referring to,
just
going through trials or tribulation. He wasn't necessarily in sin, in that instance, but obviously Goliath was completely far away from where he needed to be. In the second part, there's a song from Ava's perspective, who is this old woman who lives in a tower in the castle in Shadow Valley, and she kind of explains a lot of this stuff to Goliath, like, this is the way it is. You can't get out of here unless you turn to God. And he's like, well, why don't you get out? She's like, because I don't want to. Look what I have here.
Exactly.
So she sings this song called That's the Way It Works.
That's the way it works, dear. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
And again, they just flow right in. So in the third part, we move on to the story. He's still in Shadow Valley, and he he finds that there's only a couple of folks in Shadow Valley that he can trust, because, again, pulling out these different parallels to real life, that if you make a mistake or if you show weakness, then other people are going to attack you, or basically, to me, it was representing if you show your vulnerability or your need for God, then other people are going to despise you and try to take your place. And, you know, and so all of his, quote, advisors or the people that supposedly were there to do his bidding, they didn't care about him.
Yeah.
Oh, that actually, you know, his reference to being the king of Shadow Valley reminds me of what Paul said about, I can't remember the exact reference, but he calls himself the chief of sinners. And chief is a position of power, right? It really is. And he's using it to say that he's the worst of sinners, but he's saying that he was the principal, the chief, the big cheese around, you know, with the sinners. And that's exactly what Papa Chuck, the reason he's the king is because he's the most vile person there.
Yeah.
To begin with.
Yeah.
At the beginning of his quote-unquote reign as king of Shadow Valley. He's the king because he's the worst character there.
Because what he had to do to get there was not only, you know, become self-centered and greedy and all of this other stuff, he actually betrayed his friends.
Yes.
To get out of this battle where the bandits were finally going to overtake them, and he looks for a way out for only himself.
Right.
But one of the things that really impacts him while he's in Shadow Valley is he takes this ride on horseback with a fellow named Micah, who is like one of the only people in Shadow Valley that he can trust. And he meets these kids and he sees what the conditions that they're living in. And he says, how did these kids get here? What did they have to do to end up here? And they said, oh, they were born here. And he's like, he's completely blown away that these kids are in this position because of the choices of their parents.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's good.
I mean, that was really eye opening to me. I thought that is powerful.
Yeah.
And later, he sits in on a court session, and the shoemaker that we referenced earlier is brought to trial for something that he did to one of the ministers of the court. And what he had done was in response to the things that she had done to him, and it was just like completely what do they call it? A kangaroo court, where it's the whole thing trial was decided before he ever even. Yeah. You're going to be sentenced. The minister is going to be, you know, nothing done to her at all. And so Papa Chuck or Goliath, whatever you want to call him, steps in and overturns the ruling, sets him free, and sentences the minister. What was her name? Squeam.
Who actually had done something wrong, right?
Yeah.
She
was the one that did the wrong. Yeah.
And so the shoemaker sings this song, What Kind of King?
Yeah.
And that was the one.
What kind of king?
Yeah, it was really cool how other people in the crowd interject lines throughout it, and he responds to. I mean, it's just a really cool the way they do this.
Yeah.
That's probably sounding a little redundant.
No, no.
Keep mentioning that about
the
songs.
But it's a really amazing part of the whole series. I mean, every story, it's really amazing.
So one thing that he does, which I don't understand, he makes the decision that he wants to get out, and you mentioned the tower that he had instructed them to start building. He goes and lights the tower on fire.
Burns it down.
So it's like they were progressing really well, and they may have eventually gotten out. So why did he decide to burn it down to stop anybody from leaving?
It was probably the wrong way to leave, right?
You think?
Yeah, because he had to want to leave that place. He couldn't just like escape it and run away from it, you know? He had to want to leave and go through something hard and something scary or like something uncomfortable to get out of it.
Right. There's only one way out.
Exactly. There's
right?
only one way out. There's only one way out of it. If you're, you know, if we're, you know, we're applying this to like Shadow Valley is the world or sin or whatever. I mean, it makes sense. You got something in you that's hurting, you know, you got to get it out of you, and you're hating, you know, the world around you. You can't just run from it because it's always going to be there. So you got to, I don't know.
So all of these people who wanted to get out and they were planning on escaping via this tower that was being built, they see him do this and they are just furious. So they start hunting him down because they're going to kill him.
Yeah.
and he ends up in the home of this doctor who is a mouse,
which Dr. cracks Lovick. Me up.
Yeah.
And it turns out that this mouse is a believer.
Yeah.
Disciple.
It's like an evangelist.
That's the word he used.
It's disciple. Like an evangelist, right?
Yep. Him and his daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really cool how he, you know, he helps him to escape and he tells him, you have to go through the labyrinth. And he's like, what? No, I can't. There's no way to, you know. But he said, you'll know what you need to do when you get in there.
Stay humble. Stay humble and you'll know what you do.
I didn't remember exactly what he said, but that's it. That's another thing.
That yeah. It's amazing. Like all these things they throw in here when you start
lay down yourself.
Right? Yeah. Well, when you start digging into this thing, man, it's just like, yeah, the writers did an amazing job with this.
What's really interesting to me was as he enters into the labyrinth, he starts hearing different voices and one is telling him one thing and this other quiet voice, a still voice. I mean, it's totally from scripture, the still small voice.
Exactly.
And that's the voice he decides to follow and he finds his way out and doesn't come to any harm whatsoever.
Exactly. Yeah, the one voice is calling him by his pride and calling him Goliath, and the other one's calling him Chuck. You know,
which is his name.
Is his name? Yes, his real name. So it's like one's calling him to his, you know, the self that he's made, you know, or like you know his true self.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And again, same thing that had happened whenever he found himself there. He lost consciousness and he ends up in Shadow Valley.
Yeah.
And this time. He wakes up and realizes he's out.
Yeah.
And he's wounded still. And he runs across this character named Pastor Flint who begins to help him. And he sees that wound that he has. And he's that's another allegory right there. It's like the ministry.
Yep.
The pastor, the shepherd of a flock, you know, that God has appointed.
And it kind of sounds like the Good Samaritan a little bit.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that connection. But he begins to help him. And so he said he was going to cut open the wound and see what was in there to if he can clean it out. And he said, I've only done this one time before or something like that. And Chuck says, what happened to the one you did this to before? And he said, I buried him.
And then his daughter's like, why would you tell him that? And he's like, well, I only buried him for old age.
It was 10 years later.
Yeah. It's so funny. Yeah, that was good.
So Chuck begins to, or he gets taken in to the family of Pastor Flint and his daughter. And he kind of helps them around on their property. But he still has all of these issues that he's still fighting with and dealing with. But it just kind of shows you that sometimes if you have a crazy past, there are still things that you're going to have to deal with even after you make the decision to change your life.
Exactly.
You're not always going to just walk away from everything that you've ever done.
Yep.
You still have some consequences.
It takes time. Yeah. The healing takes time.
But and when you confront your past.
Exactly.
Over and over again.
It's like this whole thing. You got a wound. You know, you have this stone in your heart. You got to want to get rid of it. You got to want to get rid of out of your lifestyle. And you got to let people love you. And you got to let your pride down. And you got to accept, you know, the change. Accept different
things. And that was a good point, Andrew.
Yeah.
You know, you had to face your face past. Because he did. He had to go back out there because the bandits show up again and in a different context this time.
Yeah. On Wild Mountain now. He's not in Shadow Valley.
Yeah.
He's on Wild Mountain.
And he's got to face them again. Yep. And this time, how is he going to respond? Is he going to do what's right for everybody involved? Or is he going to let his anger and hatred for them take over and, you know, do what he did before?
And again, the owl comes again in those times of decisions. Like, it's like that tempter there.
You know? And you notice he never showed up at all while he was in Shadow Valley.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't recall, but does he make mistakes along the way?
Yeah.
He does, right?
Because
it's very typical. Yeah.
He gets mad, punches that beam.
And because of his anger and the stuff that he's dealing with from his past and not dealing with it the right way, he hits this beam of the barn and it cracks. Well, nothing happens then, but later when Pastor Flint is out there doing something in the barn and one of the horses gets spooked and he bumps the beam, I guess is what happened, and the whole barn collapsed on this man who was helping him. And it was all because of his anger.
Yeah.
One kind of a recurring theme throughout the last couple of episodes is that Pastor Flint's daughter, Cindy, who eventually becomes Nana Cindy, who Chuck marries, you know, later on, she makes these biscuits that are absolutely terrible. And
yeah.
They're always trying to pawn them off on each other, Pastor Flint and Papa Chuck. And it's just a funny thing that they're always referring to.
And then finally, he's like, Nana, make some of them. Or he doesn't say Nana. He says, Cindy, I want some of them biscuits or whatever. He's like, make some. I like them. He starts to like the biscuits or whatever. He's like, they start to grow on you. He's like, grow on you the hard way or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I got the quote correct, but it's really funny.
So in the fourth part, Cindy sings a song called The Heart of God is Calling. And that is a really, really good song.
It is powerful song.
And another thing that kind of reminded me of the way Disney does things is it's this character singing this song kind of to this other character who doesn't know, but then at the very last line, she changes it and it's like, and my heart's calling too.
Yeah, it was great. It's a good that they throw in that. Yep. You know, I've listened to that song before and I just heard that at the end of that, my heart's calling too. I was like, oh, that's cool. They put that in there.
So we kind of already mentioned some of this a little bit, but in the fifth part, there's these bandits who are coming in, taking all of these kids. They figure back into the picture, but we don't know why. It turns out that as Goliath or Chuck was leaving Shadow Valley, he was told that he needed to find the one. And nobody ever really explains the one. They just use that phrase, but it's going to be the one who's going to deliver the people of Shadow Valley.
Right.
And he said, you're not the one, but you're the one to find the one.
Yeah.
But after he gets out, we mentioned he's struggling with all these feelings, and he never does take it seriously. Well, we find out that the reason why the bandits are kidnapping all of these kids is there's this vulture who is instructing them to do this because he is looking for the one, because he wants to prevent them from their task of delivering the people. So that's just an interesting
angle. Because how does the vulture even, how does he know about the Shadow Valley? Was he there or, how does he even know about Shadow Valley?
Yeah.
It's a different
There's place. A lot of, you could do a lot of digging into this thing and pull out all kinds of good stuff with the allegories that they do. And it's just amazing. It's really well put together story arc.
Definitely. And we find in the final part, the fifth part, that we find out how he gets his name, Papa. And that's because one of his techniques of when he was fighting these bandits was he'd take this gray ash and smear it all over him and then blend in with the fog on the mountain.
Yeah.
And so he helps rescue these kids, and they see him with all this ash on him, and he thinks that he's a grandpa, and he says, are you a papa?
Yeah.
Yeah, Papa Chuck. And then that just sticks, Papa Chuck.
Even though he was only like in his 20s at that time.
Yeah, exactly. Pastor Flint and Nat and Cindy are like, Papa Chuck?
And he's like, there's a story.
Yeah.
Kind of wrapping it up, the last song is called I'm Going Home. And it's very fitting. It fits into the story, again, very well. But there's this one thing that really, really stood out to me out of the whole thing that I think it just was really, really powerful. And that was a line that Cindy said to him when he was still dealing with some things. And she says to Chuck, you can choose to look back and be overwhelmed with guilt. Or every time you think about the past, you can thank God that he has done a mighty thing by delivering you from it. Your dark and rotten past can be a reminder that God loved you enough to pursue you, even when you wanted nothing to do with him.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
I loved that line. And then he makes this decision to do what's right and kind of let the hatred and everything else go. And the owl shows up again one last time. And he grabs him and he says, you've whispered your last lie to me, you bag of filth.
Yeah.
And that's where the song comes in, I'm going home. And so he does what's right. And then we kind of come back to the current time where he's sitting in the house telling the story to the kids.
Yeah.
Overall, just really well done with the production quality, the acting, the way the script and the story flows. Very top-notch stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Any final thoughts?
Ditto everything you just said.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you get the CD version of this, like I said, they packaged them up into a separate album. Of course, you can get these episodes in the season that they released or that they were originally in. But with this package, you get the lyrics to all the songs in it. And we highly recommend this one. It's a great, great story. If you have not heard it, there are links in the show notes where you can go get your own copy. And I think this is one that especially kids are going to listen to over and over again.
Oh, yeah. And Paws and Tails in general. Check out their other stories.
Absolutely.
Where can we find that kind of stuff? It's not that easy to get, is it?
You have to go to their website, the Paws and Tails website. There's a link in the show notes where you can check out all the other episodes. But yeah, it's sometimes you can find them on Amazon or christianbook.com. But yeah, they don't have wide distribution. So yeah, it is a little more difficult to find than like Odyssey, which you can find everywhere.
Yeah. They come in seasons. So season one, season two. But each season has like 24, 23 stories on it. So. Yeah.
And as Andrew alluded to earlier, they did another series on the story of Esther, and they did one on the story of King Saul,
yeah,
which is really good too. So they do, whenever they do these story arcs, they repackage those as a separate thing if you want to just get those as well. Again, all the links for that is in the show notes.
So what do you think of the show?
Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, Audio Theater Central.
Hey guys, this is Austin Peachy.
Hello, JD, Roy, and Andrew. My name is Victoria.
Now, yesterday I received a letter from a big fan.
No time to chat. I've got an email list.
Another package for me today.
No, it's actually just your mail.
Well, we got some great feedback to share with you today. The first one is a pretty long one. It's an email that we got from Michael, but it's got a lot of great stuff. He sent in an email regarding episode 52, and he said, "Hi, this is Michael, your very, very loyal fan."
Very, very loyal fan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he has contacted us before, and I love how he always adds that in there. We mentioned in that episode of like what we kind of tossed out the question, should we ever focus on any of these other audio drama related topics, you know, these audiobooks that are similar to audio drama or not. And so he was responding to that. He said, "I've been thinking about what the focus should be." He said, "Right now, its main focus is radio drama that's currently being produced. I think as a rule, only episodes should be reviewed that are current radio dramas and that are family friendly. I do think that you could discuss past family friendly and Christian top-notch radio drama productions as a whole series and not necessarily particular episodes." He said, "You basically did this with Paws and Tails in your discussion, and we've mentioned them in the past, and obviously today's episode is very much like that." He said, "You have also done this with Jungle Jam, and you can let us know how we can listen to them online or buy them." So that's exactly what we're doing. We may revisit some of those other Paws and Tails short series, and if they ever start producing them on a regular basis again, new episodes and releasing them, we may start following them on a regular basis at that point. But he said, "Previously you discussed a Moody radio production, a Christmas program with a link to where we could listen to it online. You could also discuss several different fiction books that Moody has turned into radio dramas. Now, we have considered this, and we do have that the Moody stuff on our list of things that we want to look into, but the Moody productions are harder to find for everybody, and so we haven't really dove into that a whole lot." He said, "You could also do Ranger Bill and Down Gilead Lane as a whole." We kind of referenced this in a past question that somebody had asked us about Down Gilead Lane because somebody has already done a podcast devoted entirely to that, and it's a very thorough one. We probably won't dive into Down Gilead Lane, but we are planning to take a look at the Red Rock mystery series, so you can look forward to that. He said he liked learning about audiobooks that were toward the end of the spectrum, close to audio drama. And he said, "I think it would be good to have recommendations for family-friendly ones that are good for that are good with a summary and not necessarily a review of what it's about or what makes it towards the end of the spectrum that's closer to audio drama. Thanks for the hard work, Michael." So again, that was a lot of information, but we want to thank you for reaching out to us, and we definitely do take your feedback to heart.
Yeah, definitely. That was sent from his iPod. We'll have to throw that in there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
A dying breed, the iPod.
Yeah, true.
Nobody needs it anymore.
This next one is a text message from Richard. Hey, guys, I just have a question. You talked about three friends, one secret in a recent newscast, episode 46 or 47, I think. And I was wondering if you were going to talk about it further. Also, do you plan to discuss Patch the Pirate and the shorts from Lamplighter Guild?
The answer for the three friends, one secret is keep an eye out on the blog. We're going to be doing a review on the blog of their first season. Patch the Pirate, this is not the first time it's been mentioned to us. I have never, ever heard Patch the Pirate. I never even heard of it until one of our listeners mentioned it. So yeah, we definitely want to look into that. And the shorts from the Lamplighter Guild, if they produce more, we might take an episode and just talk about all of them at once because they are short. There's only been a couple of them so far, but yeah, that's something we might be willing to consider.
Yeah.
Well, we also have an email here from Darren. Says, hello, I recently discovered Audio Theater Central, and I have really enjoyed the podcast that I have listened to. I'm a big fan of audio dramas, especially focused on the family, and was looking for a list of all the radio theater productions to make sure that I owned them all. I believe that I am only one away, as I have yet to purchase C.S. Lewis at War, but I am looking forward to listening to it. Anyway, I found your list at, and he gives the link. Very helpful, by the way. Oh, glad we were able to give him what he was looking for. That's cool. I was only able to find Family Outings as a download, which was disappointing for me as I love having the physical CDs. But if you are curious, you can get it both on Amazon and iTunes for $1.99. While it is just a short 1 hour, 17 minute production, I really enjoyed it. Not my favorite, but radio theater is always top notch, and this was no exception. And hope that you enjoy it as well. Maybe you could review it on a future podcast.
Now, I'm having trouble remembering exactly what that one is about.
Family Outings?
Yes.
I don't remember either. I seem to remember some lady yelling something about burning down a cabin with a flamethrower.
Oh.
I don't know if it's that one.
Whoa.
For some reason, that stuck in my mind, and I'm pretty sure it was on a Focus on the Family production, and I haven't heard it in any other one, so I'm assuming it's in that one. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Mm.
We'll have to look into that. We're kind of slowly kind of going back and revisiting some of the old radio theater productions. So who knows? We may take a look at that one.
I believe we still have it in our hearts. It's in our hearts, very close to our hearts, to review at some point the Chronicles of Narnia. If not one by one, then as a whole, because that's worth it.
Yeah. I think we need to do that. Yeah. So thanks for the email, Darren. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do the same thing as these folks did. Go to audiotheatercentral.com/contact. Send us an email. Leave a voice comment. We would really love to have your voice and add it to the show. So if you don't mind, there's all of those different ways to contact us there at audiotheatercentral.com/contact. Show notes for this episode are at audiotheatercentral.com/55. I think that's all I've got for you today. Go have some birthday cake in honor of ATC's birthday.
That'll be a great excuse. All diets are off.
We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Audio Theater Central is a production of Porchlight Family Media at porchlightfamilymedia.com.
All right. So a watermelon farmer was determined to scare off the local kids who went into his watermelon patch every night to eat their fill. Okay. He was determined to scare them off. So this is what he did. After some thought, he made a sign that said, "Warning," all in like big capital letters, right? Put it out in front of his watermelon field. One of these watermelons has been injected with cyanide. All right. That should scare the kids off, right? So he smiled smugly and he was smiling as he watched the kids run off the next night without eating any of his melons, right? They saw the sign, they got scared. And so a week later, the farmer was surveying his field. To his satisfaction, no watermelons were missing. But a sign next to his said,
Now there are two.
That is awesome. Good job there, Roy.
Yeah.
Our joke curator.
That's right. That's right. The one and only.
Our review to...
One more time.
National Podcast Day is coming September 30th. But what is National Podcast Day? Well, it's pretty simple, and you can help spread the word. National Podcast Day is dedicated to promoting podcasting worldwide through public engagement. You may be asking, what can I do to get involved on National Podcast Day? It's easy. Head over to nationalpodcastday.com and check the suggestions. But ultimately, the options are endless. Remember, September 30th, nationalpodcastday.com.